Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like habits of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, where to get help, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories, the latest performance management tools identifying slackers at the office, and the people that young entrepreneurs should be getting their advice from. We'll have those stories after this.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio. Well, always in pursuit of ways to maximize our efficiency as workers, more companies are turning to performance management, a process that's real-time, continuous, and focused on helping people meet ambitious goals or get rid of slackers. It's a shift away from those awful once-a-year employee reviews. The new systems let managers track workers' progress via dashboards that display their goals, accomplishments, attendance, peer feedback, and other data. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Lauren, what's up at the office?
Typically, we think of performance management as the annual review. Everybody hates it. HR hates it. Managers hate it. Employees hate it. And companies are experimenting with new ways to do this with the idea that instead of looking backward at the previous year, let's transform performance management to be more about constantly improving, making people more productive, more ambitious with their goals, and then ideally that comes back to the bottom line in the form of higher revenue and profits.
Wow. All right. I thought it was interesting, you started the piece off talking about how, was it a Kimberly Clark, where they started meetings by saying, I'm so-and-so, and I've been with the company X number of years, and the thinking these days is, that doesn't matter. What have you done lately, right?
Exactly. It's really about the present and what you're doing now. You know, this was a company that, they make Kleenex, they make Huggies, they've been around for about 140 years. It's a company that really valued loyalty and people who had been there for a long time. They rarely laid anybody off and they paid very well. You know, getting a job at Kimberly Clark was considered, a lot of job security and generous pay. So these were good jobs. Well, in the last few years, the company has really been trying to change that so that it's more focused on current performance, future performance, and really getting, what they call a performance culture in place where people are more ambitious, more innovative, getting things quicker to market. You know, it's all these ideas. It's a new way of managing people, but it's really very focused on these management practices as a way to affect business outcomes.
All right. So how does it work, for example, at Kimberly Clark? What does the software do, I guess?
Yeah, well, I got interested in the story because I started hearing from a lot of HR software companies. These are the companies that, just kind of keep all the information about employees. They were creating more products to help companies manage performance. So, part of it was that companies themselves, employers, have been looking for a better way to do this. And another thing was that the software was evolving to make it easier to track people's performance, have people put their goals into the systems in ways that could be updated quickly. And a big part of many of these systems is feedback. So it becomes very easy for people to either solicit feedback from peers or from managers or, offer unsolicited feedback to someone. So the systems archive all of that. So it's like you've got a record of, people's successes, perhaps people's mistakes. It's a much closer way of evaluating how people are doing. So the software sort of is a tool that enables this new focus on high performance.
Any feedback so far from employees on how they feel about it?
Yeah, you know, it's a very much a mixed bag for people. The part of the idea and the way that employers and also the software makers talk about this is that these systems are a great way to figure out who your high performers are, retain them better because you can sort of surface them more quickly, give them raises, bonuses, better opportunities, pay attention to their career path. People, you know, the employers and the software makers like to focus on how great this is for high performers. For middle performers, it probably doesn't have that much impact. Okay. Nobody really wants to talk too much about what these systems do in terms of the low performers. Well, the systems are also designed to surface them more quickly.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. Coming up next, who entrepreneurs should take advice from? Everyone knows that business is all about numbers. Consider the numbers the state of Michigan can offer your business, like Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. Or 2000, the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6, Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates, which all adds up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Many entrepreneurs have a bad habit of failing to listen to any advice, and that's not a recipe for long-term survival or success. How do you know who to listen to? Here's a handy guide from USA Today. Number one, experienced industry hands. The realities of an industry don't go away overnight. You can learn a lot from those who've been around. Number two, customers. They're the ones who will determine whether you stay in business, so ask for feedback. Number three, employees. Some of them know the ins and outs better than the owner. Number four, your investors. You need to tell them enough about your business that when they offer suggestions, they can be informed and well-reasoned. Number five, professional advisors. A smart lawyer and a competent CPA are two of the most important ones any small business can have. Other people that entrepreneurs should be listening to, boards and advisory committees. You asked for help, so respect it. They also sometimes have legal authority, so they must be listened to. Number seven, a spouse. If you're taking out a home equity loan to help fund your business, they have a right to be listened to and with respect. Those are the people who to listen to, so whose advice can you ignore? USA Today says social media trolls, television business gurus, and brand new MBAs who've never worked in a real business. Reminder, by the way, the Small Business Report can be found on places like our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com, as well as places like iTunes and SoundCloud. Those are also places, by the way, where you can hear our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, if you'd like to share your small business story, I want to hear it. Free publicity for you, inspiration and tips for others. It's a nice swap of information. You can email me at gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.